right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Today, Cindy is my guest, and we're talking about marketing. We're going to go over her marketing. We're going to share what she's doing, answer some questions. I think this is probably one of the better marketing reviews that we've done when it comes to like looking over her Instagram, talking about email and text, website, growth strategies, all of that. So that's on today's podcast. If you are a Spotify user, go check out this podcast over on Spotify because we uploaded the video. So if you're listening to the podcast on iTunes, it doesn't allow video, but Spotify does. So we are going to do some of these because some of these marketing reviews are a little better to watch than they are just to listen to. Like you can get a lot out of it listening to it, but it really is beneficial to kind of see what we're talking about on the screen. If you don't have Spotify, we do upload these to YouTube as well and on our website, smartpizzamarketing.com. Before we get into the podcast, I do have to say thank you to the show sponsors for this episode of the podcast, Stanislaus. If you are looking for some tomato products, check out Stanislaus Food Products over at stanislaus.com because they have great tomatoes. They have great products. They also have a newsletter, La Trattoria, where you can sign up and read their latest newsletter. They have a lot of great informational tips on there about how you can grow your business and what other people are doing to grow their business. So go check out that over at stanislaus.com. Also, you should check out Fiero Group, fierogroup.com. If you're looking for an oven, dough management system, if you're a home baker or a baker inside of your pizzeria and you're looking for a new oven, go check them out. They have a lot of workshops. They have some equipment for your house. They have this new Opera Prima system that pounds out the dough for you, which is pretty epic. Eliminates the need for one pizza maker probably in your restaurant every day of the week for the whole year. So go check that out, fierogroup.com. Thank you so much, Fiero Group, for supporting and sponsoring the podcast. It's been an amazing opportunity to be partners with you and grow this podcast. Also, we are announced March 2024, SPM Magazine is coming out. We were working hard behind the scenes to make this magazine pretty amazing. It's going to be a digital version, limited print run. We'll talk about that, but I think this is going to be a great magazine. I'm already working on the articles with some contributors for the March version. And I have to say, some of the responses and articles that we're putting out are pretty awesome. I really want to make this a tactical magazine. And also posted on social media that I want to get this podcast back to tactics. Yeah, hearing stories from people is great, but it doesn't help your business. How someone started 15 years ago is great to hear and listen to, and that's a short part of the podcast. But I really want to get back to tactics, like how much sales do you do? How many pizzas do you sell? How do you find employees? How do you train employees? How do you set up a business plan? How do you set up a budget? Did you get financing for your business? If you've ever sold a business, how did you go about selling businesses? Those are the questions that I wanted to hear when I was operating the pizzeria. Yeah, you kind of have to start by telling somebody's story to kind of get a little bit of behind the scenes of how they started. But the tactics, like what can you listen to this podcast and take away from? Or what can you take away from listening to this podcast, if I can speak today, and go use in your business? Somebody's story, you can't do that. But you can, how they grow Instagram, how they built a business plan. So we're going to really make sure that the podcast in 2024 and the magazine and the YouTube channel is about tactics. I really want to grow that part of the podcast and get back to the tactical advice that the real reason why we started this podcast in the first place. So you can look forward to that in 2024 as well. And if you are somebody who has a great story to tell, like when it comes to like you've grown your business and you've done some things in your business to that really move the needle growth wise, you have multiple locations, or maybe you just have a really busy one location, the podcast, the magazine, the summit that we're thinking about doing in the summer, everything that we do is about collaboration with you, the people in the pizza community. We are for pizza people by pizza people, and that involves you. So if you want to be a contributor, go to the website, smartpizzamarketing.com. There's a button. It doesn't matter if you've ever written before. We can help you with that. Just get the idea that you have to share with the pizza community out in the open. We are open to anybody who wants to contribute. I mean, there has to be a good takeaway from whatever it is you want to contribute. It can't just be like, hey, I want to tell my story. Great. We're probably not the place for you just to tell your story. But if you have something that you've learned and you want to share that tactic with the SPM community, that's who we are for. And we're open to anybody who wants to do that. SmartPizzaMarketing.com is the website. You can go check it out over there. You can also hit me up on Instagram if you want. at Smart Pizza Marketing on Instagram. All right, let's get into the podcast with Cindy. I think this is probably one of our better marketing reviews, so I think you're going to enjoy this one. All right, Cindy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. How are you?
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We've been kind of talking back and forth on Instagram for a long time, so it's good to finally put a face to the account.
I know. Hiding behind that account.
I was doing a little research before we got on this podcast, and it said on your website that it was started from two guys from Boston. Is that true?
It is. My husband's from, I'm from Boston. My family's from Boston. I was born in California.
Oh, really?
But my family's all goes back. My dad's side, multiple generations in Quincy.
Okay.
And my mom was from Southie.
Oh, all right. I'm from Boston, so.
Yeah, I noticed. What part of Boston are you in?
I'm North Shore. So they're South Shore. I'm North Shore.
Okay. Yeah. And my husband grew up in Auburndale, Newton, that area.
Okay. Yep. That's outside of like the outskirts of Boston area.
Yeah. Yeah. He's now That's been cool. in San Francisco longer than he lived, in Boston, because he was there from like 3 to 18 or something. So.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So tell us a little bit about your business now.
We opened May 2007. It was opened with my husband and his best friend from junior high there, in Massachusetts. They moved out to California together to go to culinary school and, came here to skateboard also. They grew up skateboarding in Boston and, they stayed. they went to culinary school, like I said, and started working in the industry or in the restaurant industry, not in pizza specifically, but, they were both working at a restaurant over in Sausalito, which is on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. And that that project sort of crumbled, and they both had time off. And our business partner at the time was riding his bike around our current neighborhood, and he saw this place for rent. And they at first wanted to open up a taqueria. And then two taquerias had opened already in the neighborhood. So they're like, gosh, we should do pizza, because they both worked at pizzerias when they were kids. And, we opened slowly.
We'll say that's good. That. Is it a takeout or dine in delivery? It's, do you do all of it?
We do all of it, but it's a big space, which it's interesting, 'cause we've been thinking about this big space that we have now after COVID, because things have changed quite a bit. But we could pre-COVID, we could seat 90, I think.
Oh, wow.
And we've turned our spaces. It used to be like separated into four separate, I guess, businesses before we had it. And so one of the spaces we broke a wall through in 2009, and that was our kind of private, semi-private dining area where we did a ton of, soccer and kids, sports parties and such. But when the pandemic hit, we started doing frozen pizzas. And that side room, which used to have these long banquet-type tables, is now all our freezers for frozens. So our, sit-down capacity has changed quite a bit. Which is actually working out fine right now.
So would you rather do the frozen pizza and delivery and takeout?
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of funny during the pandemic when we had to shut down the dining room. We're like, this is kind of nice just doing takeout.
Right? a lot of people went through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're in a very family friendly neighborhood. So it's all families with kids that come in, and it gets hectic. It's great. It's what's kept us afloat for 17 years. But it was kind of a nice break during COVID to just do takeout.
What's the biggest challenge for you now?
Right now is getting people inside. We do a ton of takeout and delivery. We just do through, DoorDash and Grubhub. Yep. But our biggest challenge right now is getting people to come in to the restaurant. And
just
it goes in waves. Yeah. And it used to be, well, we're only open 5 days a week right now. We used to be open 6 days. And during COVID, we shut down on Mondays also. And we just said, let's give it a go and see how that is for 5 days. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, are our biggest days, like I'm sure any place. But now it's just kind of, it's all over the place. We can't predict it like we used to, and I don't know what it is. I think it's a combination of people's habits changing, and like some of the kids that were, either in, about to graduate high school or in college that, now know that they can do DoorDash any time of day are all doing takeout. And I don't know. It's just interesting. We do have a lot of young employees that I ask, and they show me their phones, and they're like, oh, yeah, I did, I DoorDash lunch and dinner yesterday. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to go out. The younger generation of kids doesn't want to go out like we do. They don't have that nostalgic feeling for going out to a restaurant. They would prefer not to.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. And now since we've been open so long, it's like we see this kind of pattern. Well, not a pattern, but, you know, our friends that used to come in when they were single and then they'd come in with a partner and now they're partnered with that person and they have kids with that person. And just seeing the progression is, it's actually really cool, but it's just, it's just changed and, I'm not sure what to think of it.
So why do you want to, if it's easier to run the business without the dining room, why try to increase the dining room? Because the space is there and you feel like you need to use it?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. And I think, we also changed the zoning of our space when we first got it so that it can't be fast food. And I don't think we can just have it be a commissary kitchen either, just to do all frozen. I'd have to look into that, but, or have it just that it's like takeout and delivery and then frozen. Okay. I think it's like set for zoning as a full service dining restaurant.
So you have to have it there. You have to have it regardless. So if it's there, you might as well use it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could change zoning again, but yeah.
And what's so do you do like email marketing, text marketing? I know you do Instagram because that's where we connected. What else do you do?
We don't do any email or text marketing. I tried text marketing once.
Because
we changed our POS to Toast like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We used to have Aloha, which is at the time was a very archaic system, and it's changed quite a bit now. But with Toast, they have a way to do, you know, text and email marketing, but they charge you for every little thing, that company.
What do they charge you?
I don't even know. I'd have to look. I remember when I looked.
Is it per text or is it like a monthly fee and then per text?
I think it's a monthly fee and then per text.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. This is probably a stupid thing to say, but we used to pride ourselves in the fact that we never had to do any marketing, paid marketing.
I mean, yeah, a lot of that's not a stupid thing to say. It's a lot of people did do that. Like, you know, having a great product 15 years ago was the marketing, right? Because
right.
The internet was different. You had a great product. You made sure your service was great. People came in, they told people about it. That's how people found out about good places and new places to go, was they asked friends.
Yeah.
The problem is people still do that, but they don't do it as much and they do it more online, right? Like they'll share the amount of people who send me TikToks and Instagrams, reels as a reference of, hey, you should try this place or you should go here. Like that's how they send me the things now. Okay. It's not like I talk to them on the phone and they're like, hey, I'm going to, you know, a city, where should I go to pizza? You know, I go online, I ask people and they send me things. Like, so I think that's the new form of word of mouth. I think word of mouth is still important. And obviously making a great product and having a great service is still the key factor for success, but you gotta get out there and tell as many people as you can now.
Yeah. Yeah. And since, you know, the onset of social media and the influencers and such, you know, everybody has a list. That comes, I feel like every other week there's a list, my top 10 or this, you know, this company's top 10. And it's like, you know, it used to be, oh, this is exciting. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, I don't care if we're not on that list this month, you know?
I don't think you need to be on it every, it's overwhelming. Everybody has their own favorites. I always look at it like this. People always ask me like, what's your favorite pizzeria? And I'm like, you know what? It changes. It depends on the time of year. It depends on where I am, how I'm feeling.
Right.
And like what kind of pizza you like. So everybody has their own opinions and their opinions and you can take it or leave it.
Exactly.
Just because you're on or not on our list doesn't mean that you don't have good pizza or you have, just because you're, there's a lot of shitty pizzerias that are on great lists of top this and that.
That is true.
So just because you're not on the list doesn't mean your pizza is not good. And just because you're on the list doesn't mean your pizza is good.
Yeah, exactly.
I look at it like this. I look at it as Facebook and Instagram are a way to get exposure to people who don't know you, right? Because they're free resources. You don't have to pay money for that. And then text and email is a way to get more people who do know you to either order more, come in more frequently, because those are really the two ways that you can grow. Well, there's three ways you can grow sales. You get new customers, you get your existing customers to order more per item, right? Like, so if they spend $40 on a ticket, you get them to spend $45, or if they come in once a week, you try to get them to come in twice a week or an extra visit per month. And the first one, new customers, is like what social media is. It gets out to new people who don't know who you are. The second two are email, your point of sale system, and text. Like that's how I look at it. So if you can send out a text and you can send out an email to your existing customer base, maybe you can get somebody who comes in once a week to do a second visit. And that's a way to get more money into the business without having to run ads or try to find new customers. It's a lot easier to get people who know you to come in more frequently or spend more than it is to get new people who don't know you to try you.
True, true. I think with that's something that's held me back, and I'm the one that does all the this kind of stuff, right? All the marketing that we don't do.
Yeah.
And all the business fun side stuff, of stuff. Right? Yeah. Is that I worry about bothering people because yeah. I get bothered. You know, I do sign up for some places, you know, tech stuff and everything, but I just get annoyed after a while. And I just assume, like, I don't want to be annoying because we're such a small neighborhood that we're in, and we know everybody in the community, and not everybody, of course, but yeah, like I said, I just feel like it would be annoying. So I just don't do it. And that's probably really not a good way to approach it.
Or not. Yeah, I agree. You know? I don't think it's a good way to approach it, but I understand what you're saying. And a lot of people have that feeling, like you don't want to send too many emails. You don't want to send too many text messages because you feel like someone's going to get annoyed. The thing is, you want to have people on your email list who've opted in, who have asked to get an email from you or True. Have asked to get a text from you. And as long as you're upfront with how you're going to deliver those emails and texts when they sign up and you stick to that, I don't think yeah. you can annoy people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that if I signed up for a pizza shop's text service, and when I sign up, they're like, hey, you know, it's going to happen on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. You may see a text from us every week, and this is what's going to be. And I sign up for that, then
yeah.
I shouldn't get annoyed with that business who followed through with what I signed up for. And you don't assume that they would get annoyed.
Yeah.
I think people get annoyed because they don't set the expectations of what is going to come. Like someone's like, hey, sign up for our text messaging. And then someone signs up for a free salad. And then they get bombarded with 17 texts later. And they're like, I didn't sign up for this.
Right, right.
I signed up for the free salad.
Yeah. And I think, well, not I think. I know that like when people sign up for, we do like loyalty rewards with Toast. Yeah. There's a little disclaimer on there when they put in their phone number or email that they're going to get some information at some point. And I actually,
you should have the first email and first text explain the process.
Oh, yeah.
So if someone signs up to your email rewards program, the first email that they get instantly is like, hey, it's Cindy. This is what you can expect from us moving forward. Every, you know, Thursday, we have an email go out that tells you what's happening for the weekend. If we have any specials, if we have any events, and then, you know, whatever else you have, like just lay that out in the first email. And then I always ask for a reply. Hey, do me a favor. If you can see, if you got this email, just reply yes. And what it does is it sends a signal to, you know, Gmail or whatever email service provider they're using that they got that email from you and they replied back. So future emails will go to the main inbox versus social or promotion.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So if you go to my website and sign up for we have a pop-up that says, hey, you want marketing advice or tips and strategies? You sign up for that. The first email is like, hey, it gives you a layout of how to make sure my email goes into your main inbox and not into spam. And then it also asks for a reply. And I get 27 replies a day of just someone saying, yes, that's all they reply with because that's what I asked them to do. And then I'm like, all right, they're on the list. I know they're going to get my future emails.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't know if Toast Loyalty automatically sends texts or emails to these people after they sign up. They might.
It's hard. I think, you know, there's a lot of point of sale systems out there.
Mm-hmm.
And some have better features on certain things than others. There's not a lot of point of sale systems that like encompass it all and do it all pretty well.
Right.
I know Toast System, and I know they like, when it comes to broadcast emails, they do a good job of broadcast emails, but they don't do a great job of like triggered emails.
Mm.
Like if someone got an order today, you can't email them tomorrow and ask them how yesterday's order was.
Oh, right. You should be able to.
Yeah. I think Food Tech is a pizza, for the most part, a pizza POS system that we use. And it does do that. It does do text inside too. And that's a limitation because that's so, so valuable for you as the operator to be able to do. And if you can't automate it, it's very unlikely it's going to happen consistently over time.
Right, right.
It's really dependent on you to go in there every Thursday and create the email and send it out. And you guys are just busy. Pizzeria owners are just busy. They don't have time to do that, and especially the ones that need it the most.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, because we don't, I mean, it's just me and my husband. We don't have, you know, managers or anything. It's a small show, so.
And then for Instagram, is you're running the Instagram account?
Yeah.
You do a decent job. I don't think you post enough, but you do a good job of running the Instagram account.
Posts like on posts or stories or in general?
So I'm looking here. The first post that I see was 4 days ago. I would love to see that be today.
I know, I feel like people don't do posts anymore, watch posts anymore. Like our engagement is pretty low on those.
So this one that you did 4 days ago is a reel.
Right.
It has 36 likes on it. No hashtags. So that's not helpful. But hashtags don't work like they used to, but they can kind of help Instagram index what the post is about. So I wouldn't do like 30 hashtags like people used to do, but five or six you should probably use, like what the post is about, a hashtag, a couple hashtags of like your local area. And if you go into Instagram and search your city, you'll see some hashtags that are local. Throw a couple of those in there, and then like maybe make your own hashtag for your business that you use every single time. And you could add 4 or 5 to every post that you do.
Okay.
So I've been doing an experiment on my Instagram. Photos, as you know, on Instagram haven't for the last year, I'd say year and a half, haven't worked as well. Like if you wanted reach, you'd post a reel.
Right.
Because that's the only real way. Just hit the trigger on my seat. Just totally fell down here for a second. See me going into the basement. So reels used to be, and it still is, reels is the only way to reach more people than follow you. So I've been doing an experiment. If you go to my Instagram, Smart Pizza Marketing, you'll see a couple posts with like carousels where we add a couple videos and like an image in there. And there's like 4 or 5 posts, like images or videos per post.
Okay.
And I looked at the data and it was kind of surprising to me. The reels. So let's say 10,000 people it reached, just as an easy round number. Yeah. For a reel, it was 5,000 people who followed me. And 5,000 people who don't follow me. That's the differentiate of who it reached. For the post that was like 4 videos and an image, it reached 10,000 people, but it was all 10,000. It was like 9,500 people who followed me and only 500 people who didn't follow me.
Oh, interesting.
So it was really interesting to see that the reel and the image reached the same amount of people. The difference was, the reel reached 5,000 people who didn't know me, and the image didn't reach anybody who didn't know me.
Oh.
So it was kind of interesting to see. So my theory was like, all right, if I want to reach people who are following me already, I'm going to post a picture and a couple, like a carousel is just a couple images in one post or a video. I'm going to do that because I know that's going to reach all of my followers. If I want to reach people who don't follow me, I'm going to do a reel because I know a reel will reach both.
Huh. Okay. I know, because it's funny, on that one you're talking about from 4 days ago, it got like 553 views. And I was looking up the insights the other day just randomly, because I don't look at the insights enough.
Yeah.
And it reached only 357 accounts, 342 of which are followers. 36 likes. But yeah, it's interesting because we don't have a huge following, but we get a lot of interaction with our posts, you know, like in DMs and such. But we've only got whatever it is, 3,600 followers or something.
I don't think you're, hold on, let me just count here. So this is from December 2nd. So this 1, 2, 3. Eight posts for the month of December.
That's not very many.
I mean, no, I would love to see like, what is it, 31 days? I mean, you maybe take Christmas off, be 30 posts.
Yeah, reel a day.
Yeah, I would do that. I would really do that. I mean, if you really want to leverage Instagram to grow and get exposure, 2 a day, you know, do one reel and then one multi-image carousel post that I was just referring to. So that way you're kind of getting both audiences. You're reaching people who don't know you, but then you're really engaging with people who do.
Yeah.
And like that last post you said, it reached 340 people. You have 3,600 followers on Instagram. So you can't look at it like, oh, I'm going to post too much. Yeah, you may post too much for a couple people and they may unfollow you. Right. But what about the 3,000 people who don't even see your posts because you're posting once every 4 days and it's only reaching 400 people?
True.
So you don't want to leverage, you don't want to like not post enough to reach your full follower account because you're afraid of maybe one person seeing too many posts. And if that person's going to unfollow you because you posted one too many times to Instagram, not your customer.
I know. Or friend.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't even worry about it. Like people scroll on Instagram. I've never followed an account. Like me have gone, followed it, and then unfollowed them because they've posted too much.
Yeah.
True. I've hid accounts that I don't follow that seem to show up in my feed all the time, but I didn't follow them.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And do you, I guess a post versus a reel is obviously different, but do you wait to post the reel in your stories? I
try to wait a little while.
Yeah.
I want to see how that reel does on its own before I post it to the story, just to give it a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Because I can tell now if a reel is going to do well in the first 20 minutes. And I've randomized the time in which I post. Like there's no set time. Yeah. I've posted at 9 o'clock in the morning, my time. I've posted at 1:00, I've posted at 4:30. I've posted at 6:00. I've posted at 9:00. And if the content is good, it doesn't matter the time you post. It'll reach the people it needs to reach.
Yeah. I know. I used to focus on that.
Yeah, I don't think you need to. The only time I'd say focus on the time you post is if it's like a time sensitive thing.
Right. I know. Sometimes I think like that it's, you know, it's obviously the reels and such, but like the cover image, you know, because one of our reels that got the most views was the cover is just of the front of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that one got like 1800.
Is it the I Love the Pizza Place?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good, you know how to edit that, right? You know how to edit the cover image?
The cover. Yeah. Yeah. I think for a while I just was like, you know, I'd like start scrolling through looking for like other photos that I already had in my albums. Then I was like, you know, I get to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm taking too much time on this. Screw it. But then I know that it makes a difference, you know?
Yeah, it does. I try to take the most intriguing part of the video and use that as my cover image. Like what's, because the cover image really only matters for a reel if they go to your profile.
Oh, true.
Because in the feed, it just auto plays.
It does. Sorry.
No, it's all good. So if it's, that only matters if they go to your profile and like look at your photos or reels that you have on there. That's the only time they're going to see the cover image.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you want your profile grid to look good, that's kind of like why you select that certain profile. So like when someone goes to your profile, it's not just a random image. It's like something that you've curated to look there.
Right. Okay.
But then I would cross post all my reels to Facebook if I was you as well, because Facebook loves reels too.
Yeah. I think on the way we have it set up is if I have something on stories, it goes to Facebook.
Do both. Do reels. Yeah. Okay. Reels and stories. And then the carousel ads, like those multi-image ads won't auto post. And multi-image photos don't look as good on Facebook as they do on Instagram.
Wait, what do you mean multi-image ads?
So if you go to, you can post 4 images in one post. So if you go to create a post on Instagram and you can select 4 images, and it's like the swipe to see the 4 posts. Like you start with one, swipes over to see the rest of them.
Right.
You can't cross post that to Facebook. You're going to have to go to Facebook and post that manually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it doesn't look as good for photos on Facebook like it does on Instagram. So just take the best photo and post that to Facebook.
Okay. And is it still I feel like it used to be the rules of social media is like, don't post the same thing you're going to post on Facebook on the same day you're going to post on Instagram and all that.
There's no rules. Still applies. We make the rules. The rules are, did it work? If it works, great. Mm-hmm. Do it more. If it doesn't, don't do it anymore.
Right.
There's the thing about social media is you have to experiment, because a lot of those gurus or marketers that you hear, they don't sell food every day. They sell courses and ebooks and events, and it's different. Like, being a restaurant, you need to be top of mind every single day, because you are trying to get customers who are coming in your door. You need to have customers every day you're open to survive.
Yep.
And you need lots of them. It's not like you can just sell one course and be like, all right, we're good for the month. You need 150 customers every day, 365 days a year, to come into your restaurant for the most part.
Yeah.
So the people who are on Facebook and on Instagram have a little crossover, but when you're a restaurant, it's not like you have to like really describe what it is you're posting. Like, I can see it's a picture of a pizza. The caption doesn't have to be that long and that elaborate. And if I just describe what that pizza is, how am I going to make that different for Facebook versus Instagram? There's really no difference.
True.
So we overthink that a little bit. And I think that needs to stop. It's just like, you know what? I'm just going to try it out. And if it works, keep doing it. It's a lot easier for us to cross post. The only time I would suggest you not cross post is if it doesn't look good on Facebook.
Right.
Like the four images. Like, I wouldn't do that same post because it doesn't look good, or 30 hashtags.
Yeah.
But if you only use 3 to 5 hashtags on Facebook, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't have a huge following on Facebook, or the ones that we do are, you know, family in Boston. You know,
yeah, and you'll see too, like Reels. So Reels on Instagram work quick in the beginning. Reels on Facebook, sometimes they take a while.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see. Like, if you post a Reel on Instagram, you'll know if it's going to do well in the beginning.
Right.
And if it doesn't do well in the beginning, very rarely does it like take off later. But sometimes on Facebook, you'll post one and be like, oh, that didn't do that great. And then a day later, you're like, whoa, where am I getting all these views from? It's like, Facebook figured it out and starting to show people that.
Yeah, and we just started using TikTok not that long ago. We probably should have used it a lot longer ago.
Yeah. I mean, how's that going?
It's going okay. I feel like I only post, for the most part, I only post like just like pizza images. I don't do any of the random other stuff that I work into Instagram, which might be like stuff happening in the community or like events or anything. It's just straight food.
I would probably stick to that.
Yeah.
I don't think people on TikTok care as much about the community. If you scroll TikTok, you'll be aware of that.
Yeah, like, I know.
TikTok is like very much entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Entertainment or information. It's not like Instagram is like, and Facebook is like, all right, you can showcase the community, because that's kind of what it's been from the beginning. TikTok is like, how can you make me smile or make me learn something as quickly as possible?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't post on there too often. I don't know. And I don't know that I should. I kind of focus on Instagram, but, and then not as often post on Facebook, but I will do that more.
And then one thing I noticed on your website too, you have a Twitter thing here. Do you use Twitter?
We were not really, no. I probably, okay. I don't know if we should just disable it, but no, the only thing we ever used Twitter for really was for, you know, reaching out to the garbage pickup that never showed up and, you know, tagging people, tagging
businesses. Twitter's hard to use for a local business if you're just one location. It's like,
yeah,
it's a different audience there. I would stick to Instagram. So I would just remove that from your website so people don't get the click on it. And maybe if you are going to do TikTok, instead of having Twitter, just add the TikTok link there so people can follow you there, so they know you're there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like last year, I was like, oh, we gotta update our website. You know, it's totally outdated. But then when we switched to Toast, like not many people go to our website. They will to get to like online ordering or to look at the menu in a cleaner, you know, one page thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's important to invest money to upgrade our website at this point, at least.
I think your website just needs to have your address, your phone number, a link to your online ordering, maybe a little bit about your business if someone wanted to kind of learn about your business, contact information.
Oh, it has.
And then
that.
Like you have the menu on there. That's great. Like that's, as long as this is updated and all the prices are accurate, that's all I really think you need.
Yeah. I mean, the contacts at the top, you can get to the menu, you can get to online ordering in the middle of the page.
Yeah. You have an address there. Like you can see the location on the map. I clicked in it and I'll just share it on my screen right here. I clicked on it and, was mobile friendly. So like when you click on it, if I do this inspect, this will kind of shrink down. This is what it looks like on mobile.
Okay.
So if so, because this is probably 90% of your traffic is definitely on mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this is the online ordering link. So it all goes to mobile. So it flows well. Sometimes you'll see, you'll go to a website and you'll look at it on mobile and it just doesn't, it just looks like half the screen. Like it didn't shrink down. It just kind of made the screen smaller, but the website didn't get smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yours does a good job of that. So I would say, all right, so if I was you and this was my strategy and I was marketing your business, I would be like, all right, I'm going to post for the next 30 days. I'm going to try to post every single day to Instagram, maybe multiple times a day. And if I do multiple times a day, one's going to be a reel. One's going to be a multi-post ad. And what you can do for your multi-post ads is just go scroll back and pick like four of your good images that you've posted in the past that are still relevant and just post those as a carousel together.
The carousel, like the swipe post. Yep. Yeah.
Like the three or four posts. So like you go to post and it's going to say multi-image and then you can select the three or four images from your camera roll that you want to select.
Right.
And you'll look at the data and you'll be like, wow, this Instagram reel reached 1,000 people and it was 500. And this carousel post reached 1,000 people and it was all people who followed me.
Right.
Okay. I would do that for the next 30 days. Cross post to Facebook with the stories. Still keep doing the stories. I'd say I would up that. We've seen 4 to 6 stories a day. I know that sounds like a lot, but we've seen like that be the best engagement where you can see more and more people every week viewing your story.
Right.
I don't know what the base is for you now.
I post at least definitely once a day, but this month has been a little different because we were closed, you know, a few days and I want to carry over. I kind of panic when I see that there isn't like a post still going.
Yeah. You know? You want to be top of mind. Like we've seen a 3X. So a 3X in viewers of our stories just by doing at least 6 a day for the last, I'd say in the content we run, we've seen 3 to 6 a day for the last couple months. And we've seen a 3X in viewership. So if it was 200 people viewing a story, now it's 600.
Oh, wow.
That's like your customer base. Those are people who are going to be customers of yours. That's 600 people every single view that or post that or story that is looking at what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And start there.
Do you think we need to worry about increasing our followers or just like the viewage?
I think viewage. I mean, listen, I don't know how many people live in your area. But you should try to, all right, how many people are in my area and how many people are potential customers? And you should try to maximize as many people as you can. And I think posting a reel and then that'll reach people who don't follow you and then doing the carousel post will engage with the current ones as well as the stories. Then the more consistent you are, like if you do it for the next 30 days and don't miss a day, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to reach a lot more people than you are now.
Right. Okay.
And then look in the email and text. I think that you should kind of come up with an email strategy at least once a week and then text on those slower times where you want to kind of bump up those sales. And don't worry about the fact that you think people are going to get annoyed. They won't.
Yeah, I know. I just got to figure out if it's like worth putting money into it. I'm sure it always is.
I mean, we have a company, it's called Boostly that we market and they only charge you for text. I'm 99% sure there's no monthly fee.
So per text that you send out to whatever.
Yeah. So if like you send 100 texts, it's going to be not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or if you send 1,000 texts, it only charges you for the amount of text you send out, not a monthly fee or any of that.
Huh.
So it's not like $500 a month plus 2 cents a text. It's just like the text. You don't send any out, you don't pay anything.
Yeah. Okay. I'll look into it. Okay. Loosely. Cool.
All right. Any other questions before we, I don't want to overwhelm you.
No, not overwhelmed. I feel like it's funny because I was talking to my husband who's not really on Instagram and he's like, you haven't been posting that much this month. Cause he's always like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing a post. I'm designing a post. So it's funny. It's timely because like I said, I feel like I'm always posting and sometimes I feel like I'm over posting, but I'm not going to think about it anymore. Yeah.
Nope. So. Don't ever think there's no overposting. You could post 3-4 times a day. And this is just my opinion. And I've done it in the past. Your post won't reach as many people because it kind of takes away from the previous post if you post too much. But I don't think it'll hurt the people who follow you by posting too much. Just Instagram and social media is too noisy. People follow too many people, and there's too many things happening in the feed for them to really notice it.
Yeah, true. But they posted 10 times today.
Yeah. I mean, that's excessive, but I don't think, I don't think that it would bother people unless you did it every single day.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not sustainable.
No, it's not. I got other things to do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Okay. Thank you.
So follow up with me. I know we're connected on Instagram. Do that for 30 days. Do it, be a favor, right? Do the Facebook reel every day on Instagram, cross post that to Facebook. Try to get to like at least 4 stories a day, and then post every day at least once. If you can add a couple of those carousel posts in, do it to reach your follower count. And then let's reconnect in like a month, 30 days from now, and kind of see how it went.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'm excited.
All right.
Yeah.
Where can people go follow you if they're listening to this and they want to I'm going to call you out right now in front of everybody. So they're going to go follow you and make sure you're doing this. Where can they go follow you?
Pizza Place SF. On Instagram.
Is it same on Facebook?
Facebook is the Pizza Place on Noriega. It's just been that way since 2007 on there, so I haven't changed it. But yeah, right. TikTok's the same, Pizza Place SF.
All right, so everybody who's listening to this podcast is going to go follow you and watch the journey so that maybe they can do it for themselves as well.
That would be sweet.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Right. Don't go anywhere yet, but I'm just going to wrap up the podcast here.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Thanks to Cindy for letting us do that and sharing all of her marketing on here to help you grow your business as well. You can go check it out on YouTube, or if you're watching this on Spotify or listening on iTunes, head over to the website, smartpizzamarketing.com. Hit me up on Instagram at smartpizzamarketing. If I can ask you one thing, leave a review on iTunes, please, or Spotify. Spotify, it's super easy. All you got to do is go over there and click the 5 stars. On iTunes, you can click the 5 stars, but tell me a little bit about what you learned from the podcast. That would be amazing. And maybe people who do that on this episode, we'll give a little bit of a shout out on the next one. So thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Hope you got a lot out of it. We'll see you next time.